track B of human government, God's judgment, number two. Now let's look and see some factors where there was an evil woman involved. We know all about Jezebel, so we won't go through that. Jezebel was the daughter of the high priest of Baal, and the king of Israel, Ahab, married her. And what happened? The whole nation went after Baal. And that's when Elijah the prophet had to stand up, and he had to show the difference between God and the prophets of Baal. You can read that in 1 Kings 18. But let's come here to 2 Chronicles 22. That's way close toward the New Testament, because 2 Chronicles is the last book of the Old Testament in its original order. So let's pick it up here, 2 Chronicles 22. Let's pick it up here in verse 2. Ahaz was made king over Judah. Ahaz was 42 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. So here's the evil influence. Now then, God could not allow all the descendants for the throne of David to be killed. So we read what happened here, and they were destroying all of the royal seed. Verse 10, and Athaliah, the mother of Ahaz, saw that her son was dead. She arose and spoke to destroy all the royal seed of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Azariah, and stole him from the king's sons who were killed, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. And Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for he was the sister of Azariah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she did not kill him. And he was with them 6 years, hidden in the house of God, and Athaliah reigned over the land. Well, make a long story short, the priest finally got up enough courage, and he said, all right, we are going to get rid of this evil queen, and we're going to set Joash up, even though he was only 7 years old, and we're going to make him king. So they had a plan, they hatched it out, they brought the young child into the area of the temple where they made him king, but they had all the Levites and the soldiers with their swords to guard and so forth, and they brought him in, and let's read it here in verse 11. 2 Chronicles 23. And they brought out the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him. Now those were the priest, and said, God save the king. And Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king. And she came to the people into the house of the Lord. And she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entrance of the princes, and the silver trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and sounding with silver trumpets, and the singers with instruments of music, and those who led in praise. And Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, treason, treason! And Jehoiada, the priest, took the commanders of hundreds who were set over the army and said to them, take her out of the ranks, and whoever follows her shall be killed with the sword. For the priest said, do not kill her in the house of the Lord. So here we have the influence of an evil woman. Now, come over here to chapter 24, and we will see this in many of the kings who were righteous. Now, let's understand how important child rearing is in addition to whatever skills that a woman may have. Now, Deborah was obviously not only a judge, but she was very much like we covered in the model woman in Proverbs 31. Okay? Now, 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So, when you have the right influence and the right teaching, things go well. But as soon as Jehoiada died, then he got all lifted up in his vanity, and God had to deal with him. So we won't go into that. Now, let's look at some other things that are important here and how things need to be handled when there are rulers. And God will always honor this. No, before that, we need to go to the book of Daniel, Daniel the fourth chapter, which is not in the prophets, by the way. It is in the writings, Daniel 4, and we find that on page 854. Now, let's understand, even in the Old Testament, Daniel 4, page 854, okay, even in the Old Testament, God always sustained the truth, and those who went against God were punished. Those who obeyed God were blessed. This is all in the letter of the law. Now, when Judah went into captivity by the Babylonians, God had Jeremiah tell the Jews, now, if you want to live, you go surrender to the king of Babylon. Because God is on his side fighting against you because you're so sinful. If you don't go, you're going to die by the edge of the sword. So here's Nebuchadnezzar. God said he raised him up for that purpose. So God deals with the nations. And we need to, now is not the time to get into a detailed discussion of what's going to happen in the end time. But it's very evident that there are a lot of things that need to happen before the end time prophecies really come to the full. So maybe there are some things at work here in this election which will help set the stage even more. But the whole point of Daniel, the fourth chapter, is that God deals with all the nations and the leaders of the nations of this world. And he does it, as we will see, with the power of angels who carry out his will. The nations of Israel under the righteous angels, yet they still get judgment against them if the people do wrong. And many of the Gentile nations under the principalities and powers of Satan the devil. So here we have King Nebuchadnezzar that God raised up. Let him conquer the whole known civilized world. Take his people, the house of Judah, into captivity into Babylon. Now he got lifted up in vanity. So we have an epistle from Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible. Imagine that, the king of Babylon has an epistle, chapter 4 of the book of Daniel. And this was how God dealt with him. He had this vision. None of the enchanters or the astrologers could make known what was happening, so he got Daniel to tell him what it was. And he explained the vision to Daniel. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 13. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said this, cut down the tree, cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, scatter its fruit, let the animals get away from under it and the birds from its branches, nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the animals in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's to a beast's heart, be given to him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. Now the watchers are those spirit beings who are always watching what goes on the earth. We also have the seven spirits of God, which are the seven eyes of God, going to and fro on the earth, seeing what's going on all the time. There is nothing on earth that misses God's understanding or judgment or the angels assigned to run the world at this particular time. By the watchers, by the demand, by the word of the holy ones. Now those are the angels in charge of the world. So that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, that is kingdom, plural in the sense kingdom, that is the whole earth, kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he will, and sets up over it the basest of men. Now, a lot of people were thinking, well, with this election coming up, maybe that's what was going to happen. We'd get the basest of men. Now, we've had some pretty base men, haven't we? Yes. One of them nearly impeached. Verse 18, this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom were not able to make the meaning known to me. But you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was appalled for a while, and his thoughts alarmed in him. The king spoke and said, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning trouble you. And Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream is to those who hate you, and the interpretation to your foes. The tree that you saw, which became great and strong, whose height reached to the heaven, and the sight of it to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and its fruit plentiful, and in it was food for all, under which the animals of the field dwelt, and upon the branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king, for you have become great and strong, for your greatness has grown and reached unto heaven, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And as the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, let his portion be with the animals of the field, until seven times pass over it. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. That you shall be driven from men, your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. Now notice, from being the greatest ruler on earth, to like a cow eating grass. And you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, seven times shall pass over you, and that's 7 years, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. Now let's just stop here and think about the upcoming election that is coming along. So since there is an election, it is going to be the people who are going to be doing the voting. Are there enough people with enough righteousness in the letter of the law that God is not going to set up over it the basest of men? I don't know. Only the election can tell. But sooner or later, it will come there one way or the other. Unless there is, I mentioned last time, great repentance. Verse 26. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, your kingdom shall be sure to you, after you shall have known that the heavens do rule. Therefore, O king, let my advice be pleasing to you. Break off your sins by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, so there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. In other words, if he would have heeded that advice and repented, God would change his mind, just like he did with Ahab. Remember Ahab? God told Elijah, go tell him, see, he's the most wicked man that there is. Go tell him he's going to die and the dogs are going to eat his flesh and lick up his blood. So he went and told Ahab. Ahab repented, and God said to Elijah, go back and see my servant, Ahab. See? So God always honors repentance. He would have honored it here with King Nebuchadnezzar. God will honor repentance of people even in whatever nation it is in the world if they will turn to truth and what is right as much as they can. He's not calling them to salvation. He understands that. That's reserved for the church and those that have the Spirit of God. But the world, God hasn't cast off and forgotten. So there are operations that take place with between God and the world, between God and the rulers of the world, and the people whomever they set up as their ruler. So here was given a chance for him to repent. Now, didn't happen. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, now notice, he had a whole year to think about this, to meditate on it, to repent over it. The end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of his royal palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spoke and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? Total selfish and narcissistic. What if we elect a leader that is that way? Now, we'll look and see how a nation is to be ruled in just a minute. See, now remember, in the world at large, we're talking about the letter of the law. Still, God, as we have seen, is no respecter of persons. If you have a nation that does right, and the people keep the commandments of God as much as they know, and they do it with a right heart, God will bless them. But if they don't, I mean, take, for example, look at the nation of Zimbabwe with Mugabe as the absolute hateful dictator. He is so entrenched in power that he will kill, he will murder, he will lie, he will steal. He will go and destroy his own people by destroying the ranches that provided food. Now, 20 years after the time when Rhodesia, which was renamed Zimbabwe, was exporting food to the world, now they are in the stages and throes of famine because of a wicked, evil ruler. And no one was willing to raise his hand to stand against him. So there's been slaughter and murder and mayhem. See, when a nation is not governed even in the letter of the law, God just lets lawlessness and everything come against it. And look at how the people have suffered. So what the people are obligated to do when there is an election, they will reflect in their vote their own morality toward the one whom they choose. And if they choose because of their sins, someone who is corrupt, guess how what's going to happen to the nation? Guess what's going to happen to the people? So here's Nebuchadnezzar. End of 12 months. Notice verse 31. While the word was yet in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. God is the one who raises up and takes down. And if I were old Putin baby over there in Soviet Russia, I'd begin fearing a little bit here, because God's not done with Israel yet. And the prophecies have a lot left to develop in order for them to come to the time of the end with the king of the north and the king of the south and so forth. So you better be careful. And you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like oxen. 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills. The same hour the thing was fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he fell down with what you would call an epileptic fit and was foaming at the mouth and he didn't know who he was or where he was going or anything like that. So they took him out, put him out there with the oxen. It was eating grass and so forth. And he was out there until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Didn't even comb his hair or cut his fingernails for 7 years. Now, I don't know how long they would grow in 7 years. I don't know how long hair would grow in 7 years. But like eagle's feathers, you know, you can just see it all twined up together and his beard all messed up and he'd, you know, dirty, sloppy old clothes and probably filthy and smelling and sweaty. And can you imagine him out there plucking and eating grass? Well, at least it shows grass is nourishing enough to last you for 7 years, I guess. I don't know. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. See, God has a way of making people repent. So here's a lesson for every ruler in the world. You better read Daniel 4, and you better get off your big self-narcissistic high horse, and you better start realizing God rules. And if you believe in murder and killing and abortion and the death of live children, you better beware, because God's judgment's going to be upon you, whoever you are, wherever you are in the world. And I'm not saying that to appoint myself as some great prophet of this world. I'm just saying, if you read the Bible and believe the Bible, that's what you're going to come to understand, because that's what it says. So God did this to Nebuchadnezzar. He got the point. And I praised and honored him who lives forever. Notice what repentance does in the time of trouble. You don't blame God and say, "Oh, God, why did you do this for 7 years? Look at me, all my royalty is gone. I don't, look at my hair, my fingernails, my beard. I stinked on, you know, like I came out of a swine's pool." No. Repentance, you bless God. Praise and honor to him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting kingdom, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now, this is an important bit of scripture. Notice verse 25. And all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. Where did we start in Isaiah 40? Yes, indeed. And he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What are you doing?" At that time, my reason returned to me, and the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me, and my advisors and my lords came to me. Oh, Lord, we're so happy that you made it through. And I was established in my kingdom, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are truth, and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase. I think many of those running for office in America better pay heed to what is said here. Now we know that this lesson has not been learned by the world, because there's a coming one world order where the man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to say, "I am God." And if you think the punishment was bad on Nebuchadnezzar, just wait till God gets done with him. He's called in Revelation 13 and 19 and 16 the beast and the false prophet with him. Nebuchadnezzar repented. That's something. All right. Let's look at what is right rule and what God expects of all rulers, because he is going to judge every one of them. Well, let's come to Proverbs 16. Get the page number here in a second. 783, Proverbs 16 and verse 12. Verse 12, it is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness. Now, what happens when any political leader commits wickedness? It's shame. It's disgusting. It takes down the whole nation, and it changes the morals of the nation. And when Herr Wilhelm Clinton, it was known what happened with him and Monica Lewinsky, oral sex between teenagers became the rage. Because of him. It is an abomination to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. And righteousness is what? Keeping the commandments of God. Now then, he better have good advisors. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. You better make sure you get good people around you. The wrath of the king is his messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, no more earmarks, and choose understanding rather than silver. The way of the upright is to turn away from evil, and who keeps his way keeps his soul. Then on the other hand, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Wonder if we will see that during these elections. Time will tell. Let's come to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, this is page 792, Proverbs 29 and verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Better be careful whom you cast your vote for. Because you can bring a lot of sad things upon the nation and yourself. Let's see, they will mourn because of taxes and oppression and lack of choice and all of those other things. All right, let's come to Proverbs 28 and verse 15. Proverbs 28 and verse 15, I like this one here. Like a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the helpless people. Sound a little bit like Mugabe? A ruler lacking understanding is also a great oppressor, because he doesn't know how to handle things, doesn't know what to do, and so he has to press. Amazing, isn't it? Yes. Let's come back here to Proverbs 28 and verse 1. And isn't it interesting? The man who wrote these proverbs, he became what? Because of his evil, he became an oppressor, didn't he? And raised the taxes. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Because of the transgression of a land, many are its rulers. It all falls apart. But with a man of understanding and knowledge, the state shall be prolonged. So you better choose whom you are going to vote for. Weigh some of them in these things. Verse 5, evil men do not understand judgment, But those who seek the Lord understand all things. Isn't that interesting? How many times have different ones had to change their opinion concerning things because they don't have any judgment? See, unless you are anchored in the laws and commandments of God and the truth of the Bible, there is no way that even in this wicked world you can have any semblance of good government. It just won't happen. I don't know, talk to anyone who works for government. You'll find out how bad the bureaucracies are and how corrupt they are. Let's look at a couple of other Proverbs. Proverbs 25. And again, maybe these will be good for people to take it, page 789. Page 789, and let's pick it up here in verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the refiner. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. You can't have any corrupt people around you. Now back to Proverbs 28 again, in verse 28. Verse 28, when the wicked arise, a man hides himself. That is, those who know what is right get out of the way and stay out of the middle of it. But when they perish, the righteous increase. So the long and short of it is, if you put wicked men in, you're going to be oppressed. And God is not going to be there to deliver you out of the situation. I think this election that is coming up in America has a lot of elements in it that portend good and evil, that portend being able to live in a reasonably decent way, or portend for some very destructive things to happen. Just might mention here in closing, a little economics tied in at the end. In Europe, they have had the same problems with the loans and mortgages that we have in America. And here's a good lesson for everyone to remember. Europe, instead of lowering the interest rate, raised it. And now they are in the throes of a real deep recession. And all you have to do is look and see. The euro has fallen from almost 160 to about 142. And the pound has fallen from 208 to 187, I think it was the last time I saw. Or less, I think 78. Yeah, 178. Now, why is that? Because the oppressors there wanted to force inflation out when they didn't understand the cause of inflation was the oil prices and not excessive spending. So what happened? Now Europe is going to go into really bad economic times. Now how much that is going to affect us, we do not know. But I'll tell you one thing, if you want to make sure that the United States has really bad financial time just in the near future, you elect the ones who are going to raise taxes and you will get your reward. So there are a lot of things to think about with the coming election, looking at the United States, looking at the world, looking at the different nations and seeing what's going on. What we need to do is stay close to God, follow His word, do the things that are right, ask God to bless us, bless the nation, and don't be so all fired hot to have the day of the Lord come tomorrow. God will bring it in His own time, in His own way. So God is involved in all human governments, and He judges all nations and everyone individually, and you can never separate it. It is there by the very nature of God's creation. So God does work in these ways. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.